All right. Hallelujah. He's so good. He's so good. So I feel like I have a word for you today. And it's on the power of words. We need to hear his voice. Yep. Each one of us needs to hear his voice. Amen. And the power of his word in our life and in every circumstance, in every situation. So I'm just going to confess to you. It's kind of funny because God spoke to me about 3 weeks ago on a Monday. He said, I want you to speak on the power of my word in their lives and how they need to hear my voice. And I was like, huh? So I started to look into it, and then I just kind of passed it off because I've been teaching the kids on the voice of God in kids' church. And I just thought, eh. But I thought what's really funny to me is I'm teaching you, or I'm going to talk to you about hearing God's voice, and yet I missed it. You know, because he told me, I want you to teach. So that Sunday, I go into prayer, and Terry's like, the voice of the Lord. You know, and I was just like, oh, I missed it. He told me to prepare, to say that. The whole worship service was on the voice of God. And I was just like, I missed it. And then I just kind of said to him, do you still want, you know, I missed it, but do you still want me to say it? Do you still want? And he says, or he didn't really say anything to me. I would get into my car. The first thing on would be, speak life, speak life. And I'm like, okay. and it seemed like every time I'd turn on a radio or turn around, it'd be just about something about words and something about how God wants you to know his voice. And I, even Wednesday nights, it's been on hearing his voice in your life, you know, and I was just like, all right, I'll just do it. Even though it's, you know, a little bit out of timing, because his word, right? His word is never out of time. Okay, so have you studied the word on words? Whew, there is a lot. I sat and just wrote down thoughts that came to my mind. I just, in prayer on Friday night, I had probably 10 to 15 pages of just writing what I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying. And then I went home and I'm like, okay, how do I put this together? And what I'm going to tell you today is it's pretty basic, but I talked to my husband about it, and he was just like, yeah, but if we all lived that way,
come on,
right?
Yep.
Let's not be hearers only of the word, right?
Yes.
But doers. So we're not deceiving ourselves, right, Natalie? That was her word. Last year, I know. Would you rather live or just be alive?
Live. Live. That's good.
Wow. Let me try it again. Would you rather live or just be alive?
Live.
I don't know. The Holy Spirit in me, especially when we start worshiping, I get so excited. They come and wrap me in glory, and all I feel is flowing through me. Like, God, I hug my sister, and I can just feel the transference of the Spirit between us. And those words came to me today. Would you rather live or just be alive? I want to live. Who wants to live? Who's excited about living and the power of words? Who? Okay, so Terry also this, he spoke a message and I meant to listen to it this week. I didn't take the time to, but he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of, and that's what struck in me too right away when he spoke to me. They've got to hear my voice. And he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let those who know the finished work of the cross say so. Say of the goodness. That whole chapter in Psalms is talking about how good God is. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And then what God has done for them in their life and what he's going to do. And that is us. Let those who are new creations, who is a new creation in here? Say so. You're going to speak life. Let those who know the Lord speak forth, right? Let those who know his voice speak forth. So I shouldn't be too long because I really wanted to just give a basic of this and then maybe next week if they allow me to, or God willing, I can finish up because I think that's more powerful than this basic stuff. But this is so powerful because it will cause you to live. It'll cause you to be alive with the Holy Spirit. So the power of his words. How many know his words are very powerful?
Yeah.
Right? And I love it because it says, and God said, let there be. Right?
And it was.
And it was.
Woo.
That's pretty powerful, right? So in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Do you know the universe is still obeying his spoken word?
Yeah.
Whew! That's power. Right? Whatever God says, he will perform. I'm not going to belabor this point, but God's words are powerful. You have to know that. In Hebrews 1:3, it says, he is upholding all things by the word of his power. He said it, and then he did it, right? And he wants us to operate in that kind of faith. That's the foundation I wanted to lay right there, is God, know God's words are powerful. And I'm sure each one of you have experienced him speaking something to you. And then you have said it to someone else and it sets them free, or it creates freedom in your situation or breakthrough in your situation because he spoke a word to you. And I can give you an example. My mom, I got a call from my sister and they said, your mom has breast cancer. And I was like, what? I'm like, no. And, you know, immediately you get kind of worried, but does that help? No. So I got on my knees and I said, God, I don't want my emotions to be involved in this, but I'm like, what is your word on this? What is your heart on this? Because I know he's bigger. I know he's greater, right? So I was like, I need a word, God. I need your word. So nothing came to me at that point, but I'm walking in Walmart, got my cart, and he says, go to the end of that aisle. I go to the end of the aisle. I turn the corner. I meant to bring the notebook. A notebook said, I got this, dash God. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
And I was like, I grabbed the notebook and I said, I'm buying it. it's going to forever be a trigger for me to remember. You know, the triggers, they talk about triggers for the negative things, right? I'm getting a little off track. But they talk about triggers for negative things. I have stuff all over that triggers me to be like, oh, God did that for me. Oh, I remember when God did that. Oh, he spoke that to me. You know, and it's, you know, it's not like every day. I mean, he does speak to you every day.
Sure.
But there's certain things that are just way more prominent. There's other times I have to wait and wait. You know, and wait and look for it, because sometimes it might come from Steve, or sometimes it might come from a service on, you know, Wednesday night, or come from prayer on Friday nights. You just don't know. Might be a sign in you know, a billboard.
Exactly. It's not always a voice.
Yeah. So always be hearing and looking to hear his powerful voice. So God's words are powerful. So one of my favorite Bible characters is Samuel. He's probably one of my favorite. I don't know if it's because as a kid, I love the story where, you know, he says, you know, I'll hear your voice, God. Or, you know, let me hear your voice. So I always loved that part. In another part when I was reading in Samuel, it was talked about how he said he never let one of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And I was like, God, I want that. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. He said, but you don't care enough about what you say or what you speak. And it wasn't to me, it wasn't like, I'm going to give you a spanking for this. You know, it was almost like, you know, maybe if you cared about it a little bit more, then maybe none of my words would fall. You know, like kind of enticing me to say, come, you know, come, try me out. See what it's like to spend time with me. So, but then this was my journey. That is the power of words, of our words. Okay, so I started looking at the power of our words. And if you'll turn with me to James 3, do you have the Passion Translation, Bree? You do. Awesome. I'm sorry, this is a lot to read, so you're getting some of your Bible reading in today. So, James 3, I love the Passion Translation. It's even titled, The Power of Your Words. So, my dear brothers and sisters, don't be so eager to become a teacher in the church, since you know that we who teach are held to a higher standard of judgment. We all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet if we're able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. And that means our character is mature and fully developed. Horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so that we can control and guide their large body. And the same with mighty ships. Though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? When you really, really think about it. Little bit in the horse's mouth, and you can direct them. Little rudder at the bottom of a huge ship, you know. And so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think of how a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze, and the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness and is the most dangerous part of the human body. It corrupts the entire body and is a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn throughout the course of human existence. For every wild animal on earth, including birds, creeping reptiles, and creatures of the sea and land, have all been overpowered and tamed by humans. But the tongue is not able to be tamed. It is fickle, unrestrained evil that spews out words full of toxic poison. We use our tongue to praise God our Father and then turn around and curse a person who was made in the very image. Out of the same mouth, we pour out words of praise 1 minute and curses the next. My brothers and sisters, this should never be. Would you look for olives hanging on a fig tree? Or go to pick figs from a grapevine? Is it possible that fresh and bitter water can flow out of the same spring? So neither can a bitter spring produce fresh water? Okay, how encouraging was that? I'm feeling so encouraged. Some people are sitting there going, this is what? That's in James. That's in the Bible. But I got excited. Because like he says, your tongue can bring so much fire of his presence.
Yep.
Right? If it can do such damage, it can do so much life. Everywhere you go. So, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And then I just want to read one more, and then I'm going to talk about these. Deuteronomy 30:19. No. 30:19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Okay, so we've read three places where he talks about the power of your words and what you speak. And I love even this last one because he tells, or the middle one, death and life are in the power of the tongue. In what you do, you will eat the fruit of it. Okay? If you sow death, you're going to reap death, right? If you sow life. it's really not that hard, is it, to make the decision? But how come it's easy for us to do? How come it's easy for us to say negative things? Or maybe it's not for you. All I know is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But in some cases, I love it, even James saying what he said, because you know that the tongue cannot be tamed on your own. You need God. You need the Holy Spirit. And I also love it because he says, he gave us the choice between life and death, blessing and curses. And then he tells us the answer. Or even says, that you would choose life. Oh, that you would choose life in your circumstances. In every circumstance, right? Because sometimes it's way too easy. So, what are you saying? What have you been saying? Have you listened to what you've been saying?
Yes.
What do you say about yourself? And I have homework for you. And this is one of the things I think that the Holy Spirit showed me when I started this journey quite a while back. And I'm not saying I am perfect by no means. But when you know the Holy Spirit, he's amazing.
Yeah.
And he can help you with what you say. So I would like you this week to write a list of decrees over yourself this week. Things that you want to decree about yourself this week that you will get up and you will say. Okay? Is there any favorites right now? Does anybody have any favorites that they like to say over themselves? Yeah. That's great. I walk in divine health. Yes. I am a son of God. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Greater is he that is in me. Yeah.
I know. looked up the meaning of my name, and I make a declaration about what my name means.
And what's your name mean?
It means light.
Light. Oh, light. That's good. I would like you, it's funny, because God is so cool. She comes up and she says, this is what I declare over myself. So Tracy, will you come share?
Sure.
Because I think this is so important. You have to know who you are. You have to speak the things, the love of God or what God says over your life. Go ahead.
So I have a prophetic word that God gave me not long after I got born again, and it is this. I'm actually working on a painting that represents this. I am a butterfly, free, carried along by the wind of the Spirit, drinking of the sweet nectar of God.
Isn't that great? See, and then when he speaks those things to you, it changes you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It changes who you are. So what do you say over your spouse or your marriage? What do you say over your family, your children? What have you been saying over your work, your coworkers, your boss? What do you say over your church, your leaders? Sometimes we have to speak those things that are not, right?
As if they were.
But you know what? And my husband was saying it yesterday. He's like, how God sees you is not how you see yourself. So you have to know his powerful words about you. What do you say about your country, your government, your country leaders? I came across this verse. I was praying, and I was saying some things. And all of a sudden, God says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And I was like, what? Love your enemies. Whew. Sounds like a whole different switch, huh? For me, it was. So I have two pictures I would like to share with you. These, does anybody know Dr. Emoto from Japan? Have you heard his stuff? Okay, so not everybody. So I'd like to show you, what Brie, whatever one you want to put up is fine. So there's a water molecule in a pure state, frozen, in the pure state. Beautiful, right? Now, okay, wait, Brie, go back. Can you go back to the four? Okay. So do you see the water molecule exposed to a harsh voice and what it was frozen and looks like? He did all these studies. And there's a water molecule. I love, you know, that one that she did show, the water molecule exposed to a prayer. I thought I had actually picked a different picture, but. And then the water molecule exposed to city street sounds.
I wonder what it looks like from worship. Wouldn't it be just really amazing?
Yes. But, and that's what he has some. If you go on there on and just put in Dr. Emoto, and there's just experiments that he's done. And one, he takes like from a lake, he'll take and he'll freeze it. And it just shows yuck. And then he prays a blessing over it, which is, I think, is kind of cool. And then when he refreezes it again, it's a beautiful crystal. Okay, and then there's the rice. Has anybody done this experiment? Have you? Oh. Has it, no one has done this experiment? So, what they do is they take rice and they put water in with rice, and the rice soaks up the water. And over one, like this one says, I love you. And the other one, they say, I hate you. So you speak to it. You speak to both of them. And then you set them on your counter and you let them sit. And this is what happens. Now, we tried it at home. I tried it with my girls because I was like, this is going to be powerful for my girls to see this. Ours, and I don't know what I did. Maybe I did something wrong, but we did speak life, and we were like righteousness, peace, and joy. We spoke a lot of things over our little box of rice, and we put that one over there, and then we spoke hate, and we put it. Now, after about like a week, this one was pretty moldy on the top. Okay, maybe not quite like that. That they might have let those sit a little bit longer. And the other one did have just a touch of stuff in it, but it wasn't nowhere near like this one. But I still thought that was pretty powerful because you do have some people say, oh, it's a hoax. There's, you know, it's not true or whatever. But I was like, I want to try it. But the one thing I find is interesting is Dr. Emoto is doing this with water. Okay, and they're speaking to water. What are we made up of? Water, wine. I heard that, Terry. You are 70% plus water. So when you're speaking, greater is he that is in me, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He infuses my inner man with strength, right? When you're speaking those things, you're water, right? Isn't that powerful? The words that you speak, it almost makes you not want to say a negative or negative thing to anyone, exactly. Or over anyone,
yeah.
Or about anyone, or about anything. It's funny when you start teaching and you start reading, because typically I'll read. I'll write, and then I'll sit down and say, okay, what do I want to say? You know, but when I do that, all of a sudden I start paying attention to everything that I'm saying. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to say that over myself because my knees are good. They're healed, right? They're whole. I have new cartilage in my knees, you know. I want to speak the life. I don't want to speak. I want to live. Right? I want to live. All right.
I say to people all the time when I hear them speak it, we speak life over ourselves or we can speak death over ourselves. And when I hear someone that decrees something that's negative over themselves, I say to them, doesn't matter who they are, do not speak that about yourself.
Yeah, or if somebody speaks something to me, even if it's under and that's not good, I'll be like, I break those words off me.
Yeah,
I don't receive those words. You know, because we like to joke a lot, don't we? So we're going to switch on to Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. At the beginning of the chapter, the chapter is actually called Living as Children of Light. It talks about you threw off your old nature and your former way of life. You let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. You put on the new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Now, in verse 29, it says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Pretty powerful, huh? One of the things that I noticed is you can grieve the Holy Spirit by what you're saying, by how you're talking about people, by what you say about people if it's negative. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. Let me just tell you, I'm going to speak over you right now. You are not bitter. You are not full of rage. You're not full of anger. You don't speak harsh words and you don't slander. You don't quarrel. You don't have bad attitudes. You don't create division. You don't envy. You don't get jealous. You don't have selfish ambition. And you don't create dissension. You don't. And I thought this was interesting. I went to camp 1 year, and I know I've told this before, but it was so powerful to me because I was like, oh, I did not think of that. And that is really silly for me being a Christian for 40 plus years. So there's this group, and I forget what they're called, Go Ministry, the Go Ministry kids. So you get out of your vehicle, and this group of kids is attacking you. Where can I bring your bags? What can I do for you? Oh, you got water? I'll take that. And I'm just like, they are servants to the hill. I mean, anything you need, I watched it one time. The pastor was like, he needed a table. He turned around and he was going to go get the table. Two kids rushed and ran and got the table and brought it where he needed it because they're just like paying attention. They're taught to be servants. So anyway, I was talking to a few of them. They had a few moments off and I was sitting there and I was like, man, you guys are just like awesome. The culture they have created is like awesome, isn't it, Briley? It is amazing because you say, hey, how you doing? They're like, I'm supernatural, you know. So they speak life every time that they say something. So I was talking to a couple of the girls and I was like, well, you know, what do you guys do when you get in, have a bad attitude or whatever? And she's like, we don't have bad attitudes. Christians don't have bad attitudes. What are you talking about? And I was kind of like, oh. I was like, she goes, if this is what you're talking about, she goes, sometimes something happens and you can see that somebody's struggling. But she said, you know what we do? We immediately stop and say, hey, can I pray with you? I think you might be going through a hard time. Or the person that's having a hard time will stop and be like, you know what? I'm really struggling with keeping a good attitude. Can you pray with me? And that struck me because I never thought of, I'm not supposed to have bad attitudes. And that's why I said those things to you. You don't quarrel. You don't have bad attitudes. You just don't. And some of you might be thinking, well, yeah, I do. Well, let's move on to the next part. we'll get there. But let's go to Galatians 5, 24 and 25. Bree, do you have the New Living? Okay. My ear is clogged. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah.
Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I don't have bad attitudes. I don't fight. Right? Because of who? The Holy Spirit. Okay, Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. Now, remember, it had said, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Live, not just be alive, right? Verse 20, you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. Okay, and then I didn't read the rest of that. This is the key to your life, is the power of intimacy. Right, when we read in James, it's like, it's impossible. Why even try to control your mouth? Why even try to, I'm just going to have bad attitudes because it's not, I can't even control it myself. Well, you know what? It's not you that's going to.
Come on.
Right? Yeah. It is the Holy Spirit in you. If you have given your life to the Lord, you now have the Holy Spirit in you. You have Jesus in you. Father God is in you. Right? You're in him. We're talking about Natalie's word for this year is oneness. And I love it because oneness means that you're always together, right? We don't pray to connect. We pray from connection, right? Oneness, another powerful thing. If you know that he's with you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Whoa, do you have any excuse? That's sometimes what the Holy Spirit says to me. What's your excuse now? Because the power that is in him is in you, is in me. And it's just turning, it's just being conscious sometimes. And it's kind of funny because I'll say something, or I'll be thinking, like, I'm going to say something about that person, and the Holy Spirit says, well, but I love them too. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to say that. He curbs me. He knows your words before they come out of your mouth. Yeah. He knows what you're going to say. So when you are in one with him, right, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, right, you will ask and it shall be given to you. If you abide in him, if you remember that he's in you, you don't have to do this. Remember your position of righteousness, right? Where you stand, that's your position. And you just hang with him and you move and he will bring about the change. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you will have issues, but it's so good to develop that communication. That constant communication between you and him. And have it, oh, I'm going to go talk to these people now. Will you come with me? Speak to me. Give me words that will bring life to them. You know, give me words that will encourage them. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. I love it because you say Holy Spirit. How many of us want to be holy? How many of us know we're holy?
Yeah.
Because Holy Spirit lives in you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Causing you to be holy. Just like Mary. She said, be it unto me according to your word. Hearing his word and allowing it to be conceived inside of us, to cause us to grow, to change, to become new. Because when you're in his presence, there's fullness, right? There's fullness of joy. There's fullness. When we worship here, I'm like, God, you are so good. You can just feel the goodness of the Lord.
Yeah.
There's ultimate acceptance. I struggled with acceptance. But boy, when I would sit next to him, you feel so accepted.
Yeah.
Love, yes. Complete security. It's amazing being in his presence, what you feel, what you gain. Being in his presence is completely healing. I remember I went through a time, my father passed away when I was like 19. And I think I kind of beat myself up because I was like, I didn't pray enough. I should have went up and read the word more. I think I kind of blame myself for him dying, you know. And then I went through the Supernatural School of Ministry here, and I remember every time I would picture God, it would be my father. And I would just cry and cry. I mean, like the, you know, and I was like, God, what are you doing? He's like, I'm healing you. You know, and now I think back on that and I'm just like, he was there all the time. He was happy with what I prayed. He was happy with the time I spent with my dad, you know? So he healed me just from crying. And it took me like 6 months. And I feel like I am so healed in that area that I, you know, when I think of my father, I'm just like, oh, I love my dad. You know, sorry he had to go at that time, but it's just, you know, I'm thankful for what I did have with him. And I don't have those lingering feelings of, you know, I wish I would have prayed more. I wish I would have, you know. And that's why I love his presence. I love when I come here and I can feel his strength. And I can feel his strength from you. You know, and I love too, even the words. You guys are amazing. I've had several people even in the last couple weeks just come and tell me things. You know, about how they think about me. And I'm just like, really? That's how you see me? And it's, you know, it's amazing. But in a sense, it's really humbling.
Through the eyes of God.
Because you know it's not you.
Yep.
It's him in you. And what is our greatest goal in life? Is for people to see Jesus in us. Whether we're helping an elderly person unload his trunk, you know, his cart into his trunk. You know, I got so blessed by that one time. I was in a hurry and Jesus says to me, help him unload his stuff. You know, so I was like, hey, sir, can I help you? And he's like, I'm 80 years old and I can do this. And he goes, but you can help me, you know. So I was picking up his water and I'm like, how in the world is he's like my idol now, you know, but I was unloading his stuff and he just started blessing me. Bless you, sister. And I was just like, well, thank you, God. Cause I would have missed out on that blessing if I had to keep running. But I'm telling you, knowing the oneness with the Holy Spirit, oneness with Jesus, knowing that you even if you don't feel him, it was feel him, hear him, see him. Okay. One time I was like, okay, God, I'm waking up and we're going to spend time together. I'm going to do this the rest of my life. Well, so I go out there the first day, probably Monday, because I always start on Mondays. I go sit down on the couch and oh my goodness, I feel his presence. I'm a feeler. I feel him. So I feel his presence. We had a great time. Oh, he spoke to me. You know, I wrote stuff down and, oh, honey, look, God said this. And, you know, it's amazing. And I was like, see, God is so good. I'm going to spend every day with him. So the next morning I go out, I sit on the couch. Nothing. I sat there. Okay, I'll read the word. I'll pick up the word. I'll get something out of the word. I know it. And I, all of a sudden, I felt this brush by my leg. And I was like, you're sitting right next to me, aren't you?
Oh, come on. That's so good.
And he's like, yeah, I just wanted to see how long you'd wait. But don't think that he's not with you. Because he is. And sometimes he might even be saying, just ask me. I wish you would just ask me. Right? So the power of hearing the word. in Hebrews 4:12, it talks about the word is alive and active, isn't it? The word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Whew. That's what the word can do for you. That's the power of the word in you. And I looked up, I was like, how hard is it to separate joint and marrow? And they said, you have to have an incredibly sharp knife to do it. It's like that hard. That's how powerful your word is. The word from the Lord. So, in closing, if we could all stand. Can I just say one more thing?
Sure.
The Holy Spirit just brought this to me. When you sow to the Spirit, what do you reap?
The Spirit.
The Spirit. You reap life. Right? When you sow to the flesh, what do you reap? Death and destruction. Obviously, we want life. What I wanted to say with this is don't focus on the flesh. Okay? Don't focus on what you did wrong. Don't focus on your last outbreak. Don't focus on it.
Come on, that's good.
Because all it's going to do is bring you what? Just learn from it. Say, Holy Spirit, you're amazing.
Yeah.
And I know this is not who I am. So I'm going to ask you to help me. Because I think sometimes if we focus too much on what we're doing wrong and what we, you know, I'm never going to get this right. It's not the right train of thought. He says, focus on me, and I'll bring the change, and I can testify to it. He has brought change in my life. He has brought change to my words. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for the power of your word in us, and I thank you, Holy Spirit, for just being in us, moving in us, speaking to us, touching us, holding us, bringing us life. Father, we choose to live and not just be alive.
Yep. Yep.
We choose to live in the freedom that the Holy Spirit has given us. We won't go back to the chains. We have put on our new self, and we stand in you. We stand strong in you. We stand full of hope in you.
Yeah.
That our words would bring life. That our words would bring healing. Our words would bring encouragement to those that are around us. I thank you, Father, for how great you are. There is no one like you. And I ask that you would just bless each one here. In Jesus' name. Now, what I would love for you guys to do is get with two or three people. And maybe, wives, you haven't said anything to your husband lately about how awesome he is. Okay? Or friends, maybe you haven't told them how amazing they are and what they mean to you. But if you'd get with a couple people, and even if they have if they have a prayer request, go ahead, pray too. But just let's release life to each other. Okay? Go ahead. And then you're free to go.